to a city and they had to do some business in there. They'd not been in the city before. And they had to go into this massive, glossy building. And they'd never been into one of these sharp, magnificent buildings before. And they were in the foyer. And there was Mum, Dad and a bunch of kids. And Mum had to go off to do something. So they're watching the lift. Now, they've never seen a lift before. And every now and then, it would go ping, and the doors would open, and then it would shut. And then they noticed a little old lady went up to the lift, pressed the button, the doors open, she went in, the doors shut, and they're sitting there absolutely astounded. What on earth goes on in there? And then 3 minutes later, the doors open, and this 23-year-old blonde girl walks out. And so this guy yells to his kids, he said, "Quick, get your mother." So, you know what? I think we've all wished that that's exactly what could happen. You know, there's times when I've thought, oh, Lord, I'd love to maybe go inside a lift, press a button and come out in 3 minutes like Christ. That would be lovely. But, look, some of those changes, like Rick said, he just illustrated it ideally this morning. Some changes occur instantly. We say yes to Jesus. There's a lot of things you stopped doing, you didn't want to do, you lost desires. And there were changes that came when you were baptized in the Spirit. You saw things differently. You felt more courage. Lots of things happened. But the thing is, it's a lifelong arrangement. Now, I might warn you at this stage, God expects transformation from us. And it's, of course, always in a context of love. He pours out his love and kindness and mercy on us to encourage us to listen to the Spirit and allow the changes to occur. Now, if you would have a look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's the yummiest scripture full of richness that I hope that I can explain it to a little aspect of it. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "Now we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image." In other words, we become like Jesus with ever increasing glory. In fact, from glory to glory, which comes from the Lord. Thank heavens we have the Holy Spirit. Now that scripture, you might be a new Christian that's just saved, filled with the Spirit, and you're wondering, what do I do next? Well, that's what you do next. You allow Jesus to take you, or the Holy Spirit to take you on to become like Jesus. There is no more beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful thing than to become as a person like Jesus Christ himself. I watched a DVD the other day and somebody was singing about becoming like Jesus, and there were thousands of people and they were weeping with a sense of crying out, saying, "Oh Jesus, I want to be like you." And that, I know, is living in all of our hearts if you know Jesus. So this is direction for us, this scripture. Yes, we may have a global mission. We may have a domestic mission. Mission is super important, but it's best if we do that mission with learning to be like Jesus going on at the same time. Unfortunately, bad reputation has come on the body of Christ at times because people have done stuff without looking or sounding like Jesus. So that's the first thing. We have to be like Jesus, and we get help for that, thank heavens. And the reason why is the Father let his Son as a seed fall into the ground so he could have many more like him. This is a big thing on the Father's heart, to have as many as he can, but for them to be like his Son. So let's have a look at the word transformed here for a moment. It means the same as the word that was used when on the Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus' face, those of you who know your Bibles, on the mountain, he was up there with two apostles and suddenly he was changed. He went from one state of being to another and he was filled with a brightness, and this incredible light started to dazzle the apostles. It's the same word, would you believe? This transformation means we actually are on our way to changing from being one sort of being to another, like Rick was talking about. So, okay. Now we can see him by faith, not the eyes of the flesh, and we contemplate the Lord's glory. We have unveiled faces to see the Lord's glory. In the Old Testament, it had a lesser glory because people couldn't see the unveiled face of the Lord. But we have that privilege. And John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory." So we've got to find out what the word glory means. I don't know about you, but I've heard some fluffy kind of ideas of glory. I've heard, and I found that there is one English word that covers about five or six Greek and Hebrew words for the meanings. So that's why sometimes you're not sure what it means. So what do we mean by glory? Well, one of the meanings is that it's a state of blessedness. You know, how many times have you praising the Lord at home, sitting in your lounge, and you suddenly sense him draw near and you just sense the glory of God on you? It's an increased sense of his presence. A second meaning is that it's a physical, spiritual manifestation, as in Shekinah glory, like it was in the Old Testament when they built the temple and there was such a sense of the power and the presence of God, nobody could stay on their feet. I wouldn't mind a bit of that. I'm really looking forward to that. I've been in meetings where there wasn't a great sense of the presence of God and people were delivered from the demonic. I do remember underneath Farm 4 here, a lady who had been oppressed for a long time, and suddenly she had a massive release and a breakout. Yokes were broken. I've seen healings in the glory of the Lord. Nobody was doing anything. It just happened. So yes, we would like more of that. But it also can mean that you glory in your own glory, you know, brag art, sort of. Somebody's praising you and you just glory in it. So there's quite a few different meanings. But the meaning we're looking at is the perfection, the nature, the acts of Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory. We beheld everything about him. Many times in the New Testament or in the Gospels, who has ever spoken like this man? He had an amazing sense of love, grace, compassion, mercy, and truth about him. That's who we're getting transformed into. So how are we transformed? Well, it says here in the verse, contemplate. Contemplate on the Lord's glory, his character, his perfection, his miracle-working power, his love, his wisdom, and his compassion. We were contemplating on his love, his relentless love here this morning when we were worshipping. We couldn't see anything else but his kindness and his mercy, and we want to adore him. His whole life is just magnificent, but it was revealed to us by the Spirit. We didn't see it physically on the earth, but we've had it revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the gorgeous jobs of the Holy Spirit. Nobody would be sitting here if you haven't had your eyes opened. Rick's eyes were opened as he was travelling along in the car that day. His eyes were opened. His ears were opened. And you're all sitting here because revelation came to you by the Spirit of God. You wouldn't be here except the Spirit of God opened the eyes and the heart inside. And it's like, aha, yes. And you believe. All of a sudden, you believe. Contemplating the Lord's glory, well, we all know this, but I want to remind us and stir us up. It's to chew on, to meditate on, look into deeply, take hold of, give serious thought to. Don't neglect it. On all his glorious attributes, we could spend a lifetime admiring, worshipping and honouring. You know, that can't really be done on the fly. It takes effort, intentionality and communion with him if we're serious about transformation. You know, far too many times have I contemplated on my failures. Far too many times have I contemplated on my weaknesses and imperfections and character flaws and personality. Who has? Far too many times have I wasted effort, energy and time looking at my shortfalls, when really this scripture says, look at me, look at Jesus. You know, I used to try to get me under control, but then one day the Lord reminded me that I was dead. I thought, what's the good of trying to get something that's dead under control? So anyway, we'll go more into that. So we have God's divine nature flowing through us if we behold. If we are looking constantly at Jesus, it suggests in this verse that somehow that will help us move from glory to glory. So what we contemplate, what we're dwelling on, is so, so important. I love Graham Cook's testimony, and those of you who've read his books probably will remember this, but he fell madly in love with the Father's kindness. He spent years relishing, basking in, meditating on, searching out, drinking in the Father's kindness. He was an ex-crim. And so he would go through his days rejoicing with the Father about all the little things that the Lord had done, and he would see the kindnesses of the Lord. And sometimes it would so overwhelm him, he'd laugh and laugh, and he felt the Father was laughing with him. They were walking together through this contemplating of the wonders of the Lord. Anyway, after a few months, he suddenly found that he was having really kind thoughts about people. And he suddenly started to stack up a whole lot of kind things he could say. He noticed that he started to speak kindly to people. And he began to chew on this, and he was rejoicing because he could see changes. He had a different heart. He wanted to let what was in God flow through him. So I love that about him. Great example, great testimony to meditate on who he is. You know, you can dismiss the wonders of God, but it means somehow your eyes haven't been opened. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you. Now, the second part of that verse, it talks about transformation with the help of the Holy Spirit. And as we know, it's ongoing, it's continuous, and it actually takes a whole lifetime, unfortunately. I guess that's God's plan. But Philippians 1:6 convinces us that being confident of this, he who begun a good work in you is going to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's never going to give up on this role. You might at times. There's times where you think to yourself, oh, I don't know, I'm never going to. Blah, blah, blah. But the Holy Spirit will never give up. In 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Let me tell you, every single person in this place has got the power. You've been given everything for a godly life. So like Pete demonstrated this morning, if the devil's lying and gotten you oppressed, the fact is you've got everything you need for a godly life. I love that. I confess that. I think to myself, I've got warts somewhere. No, I've got everything I need for a godly life. And then it actually says further in that verse that we participate in the divine nature. What a privilege. What a privilege that beautiful nature. He has allowed us to participate and join with him to manifest who he is to the world. Oh, I can barely read that scripture without thinking, God, I fall on my face. I am allowed to have your kindness. I am able to have your long-suffering flow through me. I am able to have your grace into a situation that's really needing grace from the Lord. I've got that privilege. That is so magnificent. I think we should be cheering in our hearts for that. So it's interesting because when you first come to Christ, and I loved some of the things Rick said there, when you first come to Christ, there's so many things the Holy Spirit starts out to reveal to you. He lets you know certain basic foundational truths. And I know you all know this, but also I've got Peter in the book of Peter backing me up, because he said, I know you're very familiar with all these truths, but I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. And I want to remind you about these basic truths. There are some very basic truths that the Holy Ghost takes us through so that we can walk this walk of being transformed. If there are some things we have not contemplated, had revealed to us, our walk is difficult. So the first thing is that we're dead. The first thing he's got to teach you is you're dead. How many times I've gone home and sat there in the chair and thought about something at work, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, Gwen, you're sounding like Gwen of the Undead. All those who laugh, I know you've watched one of those horrible movies. The Undead. You're dead, aren't you, Gwen? And it's a relief to remember and to believe that you're dead, that the striving and the hoo-ha's gone. Yeah, what's all the striving about when you're dead? You're dead to sin. but you're alive to Christ. So if you do not take that on board and revive yourself in it over and over, that I'm alive to God and dead to whatever is detrimental to his plan, then you can have a very difficult walk. Now, these basic truths can be known and then forgotten. They can be overlooked and neglected. In fact, familiarity with certain scriptures can breed contempt. In fact, sometimes if I've overheard a thing, I actually almost despise it for a while. I've gone through times where I've thought, that's not what God's talking to me about. But in actual fact, sometimes we shut down and we become hard to certain truths. The other thing that he tells you is that your viewpoint now, you're seated in heavenly places. Man, you need that revelation when you're going through the challenges of life and being conformed into his image. This is your vantage point. It's the overcoming vantage point. You're not down here in the mire of unbelief and doubt. God has seen fit to seat you in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, and that means you have his viewpoint on everything that comes your way. Now, if you forget that, I tell you what, it's a struggle. Transformation is a challenge. It's difficult. The other third thing of this three, all of these need checking out and immersing in over and over all through your Christian life, and I'm just touching on them to remind you. The other one is that Christ himself, the hope of glory, lives in you. Those basics, if you've got them under your belt and they're a call to your remembrance as you're walking through this transformation process, if you don't really believe that Jesus Christ himself is living within you, you will be going to England to get the fruit of the Spirit. It's ridiculous. You have the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit within you already. You've got it at hand. It actually requires our walking with God for all of that to start. But we need those foundational truths. If you're building a house, you need things planted down really strongly for the building to be built on top safely. Okay, so then the Holy Spirit, he does that when you first start off. He opens your mind to these things and you're rich with the revelation of these yummy things. And then you and he start walking down the pathway of life together. And we have to work with him. You know, I have seen others have ran to try to please God, but the Holy Spirit wasn't in the situation. I have gotten so exhausted with trying to do the right thing that I've said to the Holy Spirit, oh, well, you'll get me there. Okay, thanks, I'm going to relax. You can get me there whenever you're ready. That doesn't work either. We actually have to walk with him through the process every day. We can't fight against it, but it's for real. Now, walking with him every day requires that we do stuff. It doesn't mean he's going to carry you along on a little roller coaster and we're just going to end up there. No, we have to work with him. And there's too many scriptures in the Bible that say we've got stuff to do. And one is, we are the ones who grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have to clothe ourselves with humility and in Christ-likeness. We are the ones, Paul said, that we needed to put on the whole armour of God. The Holy Spirit won't do that for you. There's stuff we have to do. I can study to show myself approved. That's something I have to do. I still have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. But the Holy Spirit is there to help me become like Christ. So I just think that is a marvellous thing. We cooperate with the Lord Holy Spirit. He is the Lord of our lives. We gave up the rights for our life. We said yes to the Holy Spirit all those years ago. So we worked together for the river of glory to flow through us. Now, when you're talking about this river of glory, you're talking, in this situation, we're talking about character, Christ-likeness. And Jed gave me a little testimony of a couple of weeks ago when we had that boy Chris here that helped with the music. And Jed and Deb had to go somewhere and they gave him a key to his house so that he could relax down there, but Jed had given him the wrong key. And the guy, I think that was the day it was 38 degrees. And so the guy sat down there until Deb and Jed came back, and poor old Jed felt terrible. But he noticed something on that boy. And you know what it was? It was glory, the character of God. He was so gracious. He was so patient. He was so, that Jed noticed it. And he walked away and he said, this is a Christ-likeness. So also too, picking on you today, Jed. Jed also had a time where he went to work. I've experienced similar times, and I'm sure many of you have. But he worked in Kilcoy recently. But he really sensed the love of God, the presence of the Lord on his life. He felt he was in the right place at the right time. It was a wonderful sense of joyful connection with God and being a light in the workplace. So he had opportunities to maybe demonstrate that light, to sort of demonstrate Christ a bit, to talk a little bit about the Lord. Now, many of us, like everybody in this place, if you have Christ within you, you've already got a layer of glory. You've already got glory sitting on you. You might not see it, but I think if we had an infrared light, we'd see glory all over various people, right? But then we're supposed to go from glory to glory. So if you're a baby Christian, glory comes to settle on you. But I reckon in 10 years of walking with Christ, you should have a whole lot more glory, would you think? And if you're in your 60s, you should have even more glory. And if you're in your 75, Mark, 80, whoever he is, 80, you should have glory unspeakable sitting on you. In other words, the character of Christ has been deeply worked in you. Unfortunately, we know that you can live all those years and quench a bit of glory here and there, and you might find somebody who's 2 years old in the Lord and they really have let God work in their life and demonstrate that glory. So I saw a bit of glory on Mark Latter yesterday. We had a funeral yesterday, for those of you who don't know, of a beloved brother, and he had three sons, and they all stood up and talked about their dad in the most wonderful way. And one boy, who found it very difficult to speak, shared that he'd had a conflict with his dad, and he had made it public by standing there and telling. His humility to do that blew me away. He shared that he had not had the best friendship with his dad, and if he had a regret, it would have been to get right with dad much quicker. So he stood there and he said, I warn you now. He said, I encourage you now to do that thing, get it right now. Don't wait a day. Don't wait a day. Now, there was glory on that boy. There was glory on that boy. Melted the lot of us. Sometimes glory can happen when things are really reasonable and we sense God. But then sometimes people have glory manifested when they're in the worst possible trial. Trials aren't supposed to dim us. We're supposed to still have this lovely glory happening right through the trial. I know we're all very imperfect, and at times we probably regretted that we didn't. But I want to, and I have shared this testimony with some others, but there was a guy called Zhang Rongliang in China. He and two other guys started the underground church movement in the days of Mao Zedong in the late 60s, early 70s. Now, these guys had an attitude of almost competition with each other to see who could get into jail first. And, of course, in jail meant you were belted senseless. It meant that you really had to, you know, you were threatened with death and all sorts of things if you didn't recant. And so this guy Zhang was in there, and he spent 15 years in jail. He did more for God in jail than he did ever out. But he was in there, and he used to get taken out of his cell, walked to this area, beaten senseless because he would say no, he wouldn't recant. And so then he'd go back all bruised, and at times he wondered if he was going to live or survive. He did not complain. He did not say a word. He didn't react. And there was a Muslim guy in another cell, and he used to watch this going on every day. And one day he saw the glory of the Lord on Zhang Rongliang being beaten senseless, and he cried out in everybody's earshot, "The God he serves, I want." So he became a Christian. He began to be beaten more regularly, but he led others to Christ. So glory is the Christ-likeness within you no matter what happens, wherever you are. You can be going through the most difficult time, really difficult time, But God's glory can shine. And I tell you, God is so pleased. There is nothing more. The Father loves you to shine because you're like his son. He wants more Jesuses. So, okay. What's the reward from allowing the Holy Spirit to direct you and lead you every day? It's to please the Father. Now, sometimes the encounters with life give us dish-outs that fill us with despair, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And probably there wouldn't be a person here, and myself included, that haven't had a taste of that at times. So, just a reminder, I know you know this, people filled with bitterness or complaint, they don't improve their world. They actually worsen it. We can actually deteriorate and burn with a fire that God hasn't lit if we forget to listen to the Holy Spirit. You actually reflect the nature of the world that you're most aware of. It's what you behold. So let's have a look at the scripture. I'll read it to you. Don't look at it because we've got to get moving. Now, I'm going to remind you of this. This is a hot and heavy scripture, but yous are very familiar with it, so I feel quite safe that you will not throw chairs at me. But Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lusts of the flesh. How do you do it? Listen to the Spirit, and you are dead to what you want. Now, what are the lusts of the flesh? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, hatred. This is what he's transforming us from. And this is what, believe it or not, in a lifetime you will be tested with, challenged with. Hatred, discord, gossip, bad-mouthing, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, orgies. I probably don't have to mention that here, but factions, dissensions, drunkenness and envy. I love that. You know that singer, James Blunt? You are beautiful. You know that song? I kind of like that. But I reckon the book of James is even more blunt. He's the real James Blunt. Have you read the book of James lately? Man alive, he was talking to Christians. Read James and let a sense of awe overwhelm you. You know, they weren't sure whether to include James in the New Testament because he was so hot. He insisted on a practical application of Christianity. He talks about wrong motives, greed, friendship with the world and the tongue. And he says if you can't control your tongue, then you are... I forget his word. It's pretty rude. If you can't control the tongue... Can somebody get that? I've forgotten it. If you don't control your religion is vain. I mean, like, is that hot? So... We're not only transformed from these big bad guys and little subtle versions of those big bad guys as we go through life. We're also transformed from, I know nobody here has got this problem, unpleasant personalities. Oh, no, but that personality God gave me. No, if it's not like Jesus, you is going to get transformed. Anxieties. Harsh criticisms. I loved a woman I met many years ago when I was first saved. She stood up one day, she was very prophetic, and in this church meeting she had this word from the Lord and she said to everybody, and I've never forgotten it, a pity I haven't listened to it as much as I should have through my life, but she said, whoever points a finger at a brother or a sister has got three already pointing back at them. So I felt a little nervous then. And also when you're in James, he does real hot stuff. He says, who are you to criticize and judge your brother? Who are you to judge another man's servant? Who are you? So negativity, hard hearts. You know, Hebrews, I got into Hebrews in the last few weeks, and it says... Watch your heart. It says to check your heart every day for hardness of unbelief. So he's talking to Christians. This is all to Christians.
This process involves the transformation of the whole person, just like Rick was talking about, of the whole person in thoughts, behaviours and styles of relating with people. Now, the Holy Spirit, what are the tools that he uses to get us through all these things to make us more beautiful? Well, one is people. The other one is circumstances. All those people that are funny, they are beautifying you. Anyone who's given you the pip, they are transforming you from Christ, from glory to glory. Anybody who really gets your teeth on edge, you thank Jesus. They are becoming, you are, this is your opportunity of a lifetime. Say, yes, God, I'm with you, Holy Spirit. Take me on, Jesus. That's a much better way of approaching. Sometimes in desperation, we get desperate. God, please change me. Oh, God. And you get on your knees and you say, Lord, and he'll help you empty out the stuff that's blocked the flow of the glory on your life. And then he does a refill and a refresh. He's so at hand wanting to do that. He's not somebody who's wants to do you ill in any way, shape or form. He wants to put his arms about you. But he sometimes has to get us to face issues, cleanse our hearts, and then he refills. And sometimes he wants to be invited in our lives to help us change. Many times I've had where I've thought, oh, Lord, I don't like where I am now. I really don't like the place I'm in. So please do something. And then often there'll be an answer immediately to help bring the change. God wants to fill us to overflowing. You know, Christ revealed the heart of the Father to the earth when he came, and now the Holy Spirit reveals the heart of the Father and Jesus to us. We have our eyes open to see what he's like so that it can actually come into us and flow out through us and be manifested in the lives that in our families and in our community life. It's Christ they want to see. What's the best way to advertise Christianity? Be like Christ. You can decide to upgrade your whatevers and do this and do that, but what is really going to sell the kingdom is you being like Jesus. So I would say, oh yes, one little point here. Christ revealed to humanity that. Do you feel you have lost any glory on your life? Is there anyone sitting here that feels really they have quenched the spirit, they have maybe reduced the amount of glory, that there's blocks to the flow of the character of Christ out of your life? I'm going to ask you to bow your head, because I don't know about you, but I fit that category. So, Lord, we want to work with the Holy Spirit. We know that you're just love, constant love. And, Lord, we want to be cleansed of all that stops us, all that makes us hung up, all that bothers us, all that whatever, all that's unjust, all that's whatever in our life, Lord, flush it. We ask you to flush it, wash us now, and equip us afresh with a new heart to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to rejoice in life, to rejoice in the situations that come our way, Lord, and to just glorify you in all our lives. From the time the Spirit of God was descended on the apostles at Jerusalem, God's been working on human beings ever since, and by sending his Holy Spirit to make them like Christ. He's never given up on his goal, and he hasn't given up on it now. And so today, I would love us all to agree together that we will say yes. And we'll say, yes, we want to be like you at whatever price, at whatever cost. Even if it costs us a bit of pride, even if it costs us a bit of acknowledgement, even if it costs us energy and time, we will surrender and submit ourselves to you being glorified in us, Lord. We want to see your glory. Lord, I saw glory on people yesterday serving and looking after the kitchen and making that all function. I see glory in submitted hearts that really love to please and love to serve. I see glory on people who want to care for the lost and the needy. So there's glory everywhere to be seen. If we've got the, don't get tired old eyes. Don't get bored old thinking. Get your eyes opened by the Spirit to see the godness that is all around you. And there is much godness all around you. There is so much God. Like Rick came and saw God. And when he saw it, it helped him change. So thank you very much.